M. Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Vicki Barker in London. Charles III has been crowned in a ceremony dating back 10 centuries, promising to serve his people as his mother did for 70 years.
I, William, Prince of Wales.
Son and heir Prince William kneeling before his royal father, pledging his loyalty and service, watched by his son and heir, 9-year-old Prince George, who served as a page, watching from a third row seat in a plain dark suit, Prince Harry. Then, the famous balcony appearance, King Charles and Queen Camilla wearing their bejeweled purple velvet crowns, waving at the hundreds of thousands below, cheering them on. Now with more CBS News, here's Allison Keyes.
Forte, an early favorite for the Kentucky Derby, has been scratched hours before the race. The horse's co-owner says state veterinarians had concerns about a bruised right front foot. The colt stumbled on the track during a workout. 5 horses have died in the past week. A close call for an American pilot, CBS's David Martin with more.
A U.S. Air Force pilot is listed in stable condition after he ejected from his F-16 jet fighter over South Korea. The plane went down at about 9:45 local time this morning in an agricultural area about 40 miles south of the demilitarized zone separating North from South Korea.
President Biden says he's running for re-election and was asked on a special edition of MSNBC's 11th Hour with Stephanie Ruhle about his age.
Because I have acquired a hell of a lot of wisdom. I know more than the vast majority of people. I'm more experienced than anybody who's ever run for the office. And I think I've proven myself to be honorable as well as also effective.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas spent the day at the border where there are worries about an influx of migrants amid the ending of a pandemic-era policy.
In a post-Title 42 environment, we will be using our expedited removal authorities under Title 8 of the United States Code.
The DEA has announced the outcome of a year-long probe into Mexican cartels that are pouring fentanyl onto the streets of the nation. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
DEA Administrator Ann Milgram says over the past year, her agency and law enforcement partners have seized nearly 44 million fentanyl pills and arrested more than 3,000 people, from couriers transporting pills across the border to sellers on social media.
Not into horse racing. In the nation's capital this afternoon, the running of the Chihuahuas is happening. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
Enjoyed by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Here on Civic Media and on the app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The long-term effects of Wisconsin's redistricting process were apparent in the November elections. A nonpartisan good government group says voters who feel overlooked should not give up. Mike Moen reports.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election, but Republicans maintained strong control over the legislature. Jay Heck of the group Common Cause points out that Evers maintains his veto power, but he says Republicans still carry a lot of weight, partly because they keep redrawing the maps to their advantage.
There were more votes cast for Democratic candidates statewide than Republican, but the contrast with the legislative elections in the state is so sharp, it almost makes laughable the idea that we have a true representative democracy.
Researchers have said that over the past decade, Wisconsin has produced among the most gerrymandered voting district maps in the country. Heck says voters should look ahead to next year's state Supreme Court election with the hope a less politicized court could eventually revisit the issue. And there could be legislation floated again next year to develop an independent redistricting process. In the meantime, he says the current maps allow a smaller percentage of voters to decide who controls the legislature, leaving other voters behind in fair representation.
Urban areas in Wisconsin have suffered a decline in the shared revenue from the state, even though those people pay taxes.
Heck says that means less support for schools, roads, and other public needs. Analysts say lawmakers representing these areas get packed into boundaries that ultimately diminish their voices at the state capitol. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Images, we all have them, but what do we do with them? Why not let Mike Crivello's Camera and Imaging Center turn them into 4x6-inch prints for your brag book? Or big, gorgeous, color-corrected luster, canvas, or metal enlargements for your wall? You may have images, but they're not a picture till they're printed.
Mike Crivello's world is a wonderful world of cameras.
Mike Crivello's on Blue Mound Road in Brookfield.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Now I grew up down an old dirt road in a town you wouldn't know. My pops picked the place up for $1,500 back in 1964.
What is up, Wisconsin? Welcome to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw, WAUK. Back in the fishbowl with Danielle Fairman, fresh off of the turkey field.
Yes.
How'd that go, Danielle?
It did not go well, because right now I would be eating turkey and bringing turkey bites to you guys. Did not go well for me at all.
It's been a tricky turkey season so far. It's been kind of crazy. I got out there with a youth hunter, and mm-hmm. we were covered in turkeys the second day. I mean, they flew out of the roost right to the decoys, and I had a brand new hunter, a 14-year-old young man, took his first shot at a giant tom and clean missed it.
Clean missed it? Oh, no.
Oh, that was... It was tough, but the beauty of it was that we had some Jake stick around, and he was able to put one in the bag. So I said, all right, now listen, this time when you take your shot, keep your eyes open. Because I watched him, and he closed his eyes right before he took
the shot. Were you preparing for that, the whatchamacallit, recoil of it?
Yeah, I think that's maybe what happens. We did have him shoot the gun ahead of time, and sometimes I think that if you have somebody shoot the gun ahead of time, that makes them more nervous about it than if they just shot it the first time and never knew what...
Yeah, because now they're thinking about it.
Never knew what recoil... Yeah, what recoil meant. Hey, I got something exciting to tell you. You know, our loyal listeners from Oconomowoc... Our loyalest listeners, the Kennedy clan from Oconomowoc, Robin Kennedy, the matriarch of the Kennedy clan, is literally in the studio with us.
Sitting right next to me.
I know, and I'm debating because she said, don't put me on the air. You've been on the air before,
yeah,
Robin.
You did such a good job.
Robin?
I have been on the air, but I've not talked turkey or hunting.
That's true. You don't have to talk turkey and hunting. Why are you guys such loyal listeners? Why is your family like 5 out of the 7 listeners to this show?
Okay, do you want the honest answer or the...
I don't know.
I feel that's a dick.
If the honest answer doesn't make me feel good, don't give me the honest answer.
All right. I'm going to tell you all the real answer. Because we are not a hunting family.
Wait a minute. What did you eat for dinner Monday, Robin? What did you eat for dinner? No, come on now. What did you eat for dinner, your family?
Oh, okay. Hold on. One of our family members, Aiden, is a hunter. He's hunting turkeys with you. But generally speaking, the Kennedy clan, we love to listen to this show to learn all the tricks and trades of hunting.
Yeah, okay, so you just kind of made my point. You said we are not a hunting family, but you ate turkey pot pie on Monday that your son, Aiden... harvested with me last fall.
Yeah.
And now what does that tell you? That tells you a non-hunting family, once you get somebody in that family out to the field for the first time and they get a chance to experience what it's like to be in Wisconsin's great outdoors and harvest something, they become a hunter.
Yes.
And so now you are a hunting family. Aiden, listen, if you're listening, Aiden, Robin told me she's going to get you a semi-automatic Benelli Super Black Eagle 2 with a 28-inch barrel, 12-gauge, and all the chokes so that next season. I understand he has a birthday coming up, doesn't he?
He does. When is his birthday? July 17th.
July 17th is his birthday.
That's
so
my mama's birthday.
Aiden's a real hunter now, and I'm just saying, put the pressure on it. Robin, great to see you. Great to have you here. It was great. We had we just grabbed some dinner down the road at the People's Park. They always do such a nice job. So
yes,
give a shout out to them. And Danielle, you guys have become fast friends. I feel like I'm not even part of the
course
club
anymore. We are, because we're super cool girls.
Yeah, okay.
Let's say we're hippies.
Robin is a hippie. Robin's kind of a hippie, and she admits it, too. Although, it's kind of weird, because Robin is a conservative hippie, and that's kind of an oxymoron, really, to be a conservative hippie. Isn't it?
No.
Hippies are lefties.
No.
Hippies are total lefties.
You can be on any part of the spectrum as a hippie.
I don't know.
Free
about
love.
That.
Free love, JK.
All I can say about that is cannot do the patchouli. I don't know. What is patchouli made out of?
Patchouli.
Are you sure it wasn't designed by someone named Patrick and Julie and just called patchouli?
I don't know. I don't even know the smell of patchouli.
You can't even say patchouli.
Don't hate me.
Danielle.
Patchouli.
Danielle, what happened in your turkey hunt?
My turkey hunt. I wore patchouli.
Well, turkeys don't smell very well, so if you did wear patchouli, that wouldn't probably matter to the turkeys.
That is definitely why I love bird hunting, because I don't have to be scent free.
Right.
But my turkey hunting consisted of me not dressing properly with the rain and snow. So I was freezing, and then it got super windy, and the spot that I was hunting turned out to be a morning spot, and I was more of an afternoon, evening person. Especially,
that just means you don't. You know what that means? That just means you don't like to get up early, Danielle.
It just means I was busy and I planned properly or poorly.
Bye,
not
Robin.
Properly.
Have a good
Bye,
night.
Bye, Robin.
See you later. Keep listening.
But. I also didn't go out Sunday either, so that there's that. But
did you see turkeys?
I saw. So I.
We're gonna.
I texted
all
you
your problems so that when your season E tag comes up, that we get you a turkey.
Because I cannot go a season without having a turkey. But so my situation is with decoys. I'm always the second guesser. When we go out duck hunting or goose hunting, I'm like, okay, I need to go change these up. I'm the person that gets up and changes every 5 minutes.
Changes the decoys?
Well, yeah, maybe.
While you're turkey hunting?
Yeah. Okay, well, like I did with the top. Because I second guess. Do not judge me, Joel.
That is not. But no, no.
Because
no,
I Google
listen,
things while I'm sitting there.
Do you know how
Don't
many
look at me
times,
like that.
I have two things to say.
Google about decoys.
Travis,
leave me alone.
Put the mic in front of you if you want to talk. Just swing
I'm ready
over.
For digs. I got a shovel.
No.
I run a backhoe.
Here's the deal, though. I'm going to just tell you this. In
yes.
turkey hunting, the thing that kills turkeys more than decoys...
Don't you say patience.
...more than calls is patience.
Oh, dear Lord.
And if you are getting out of your blind or off of the ground or off against the tree, you have no idea how many turkeys are looking at you.
I know.
And you're going to push them away from you. I am sorry. That's what I'm going to say about that. But the next part I was going to say is thank God...
What?
We have the expert in decoy placement on the show tonight.
We do. I'm so excited for this.
The expert. In fact, his nickname in the field is Decoy Dave, because Decoy Dave, honestly, sometimes moves the decoys to the point that you just want to grab the guy and...
Aw, so you're...
And duct tape him to the blind. Dave Nelson... Two-time state champion goose caller, the best turkey caller I've ever seen, pro staff for Jargon Game Calls, the Fowl Life, pro staff for the Fowl Life, pro staff for Provider Brands. I get to work with him on our stuff for the Outdoor Channel. Dave, is it freaking cool? Is it cool to be part of a national television show?
It's a dream.
It's awesome, yeah. Isn't it?
It is.
It's really cool. The issue I have with Dave is straight up, well, I mean,
Is she saying there's only one?
It's not like a boyfriend-girlfriend issue with Dave. My issue with Dave is literally envy, because I have never accompanied anybody who's that good at calling geese, ducks, or turkeys. He's got a literal God-given ability to do it. Nice. And in the field, it will elicit the response that you want. Now, I'm okay at turkey calling, and I'm mediocre at very best at goose and duck calling, and I can kill animals. I can kill birds when I'm out there. But Dave takes it to a whole new level. And then on top of that, he's a little...
Anal?
Little?
I don't know if anal's the right word, or he's out of his mind when it comes to decoy placement. Mm. So I bet it drives him bonkers when he sets up a turkey decoy spread and they don't come running. But I also haven't seen him jump out and start changing turkey decoys around. Dave,
you say decoys like there's going to be multiple, because I've only ever put out two. Maybe three, but like in my head, you guys are talking about like when you go from goose decoys to turkey decoys, I'm thinking, you know, a dozen plus for turkey.
I like running, like three is my magic number. I'll run more than that, but
I think three is a magic number. I think an odd number is a magic number to me, and I don't know why, but I like to run odd numbers. But and I'll bring in the flock if something, you know, if you got to try to mix things up. But before we get past this, Travis Sobchak is with us too. One of the best goose callers that I know. One of the best goose hunters I know. One of the guys, you want to talk about freezing your ever-loving rear end off out in the field and staying out in the field. I think Travis's leg one day were both frozen solid. He could barely walk.
It was my hands.
It was your hands?
Yeah, you saved my life with those hand warmers at the end of that day.
Ooh. Well, I am glad to know that I had some... that is what comes with being old, Travis.
Something like that.
You start doing all this preparation. I mean, it takes me an hour and a half the night before a hunt just to get my crap ready. No, I believe for real, it does.
There's a lot of things. I'm a layers person. I need my layers.
So, Travis, I want to know... from you and from Dave, what you think about Danielle jumping up and changing the decoys, and what you guys think is the best kind of turkey decoy spread. Because I'll chime in after and tell you how I like to run them, but what do you think?
Okay, wait, before you guys jump down my neck, my situation is when to put toms out and when not to put toms out. Because right now, it's the beginning, so I feel like they're going to be aggressive and they want to see a big...
It's week three.
Literally just passed week two. Okay, yeah, so now we're in mid. So we're the day after week two. Week three started. They're still aggressive. They want to... They're strutting. When I look out in the fields, I see 3-4 toms just strutting right next to each other. So in my head, I... want to put out that tom decoy because they're all grouped together. So yeah, I want to do that. But then when I texted you, you say take that tom decoy out. And I'm like, crap.
I didn't say take it out. I said I'd replace it with a Jake. But
that is taking it out.
So that's my experience. Is they always say tom decoys can chase the bird off or may entice them and bring them in. That's why I always run a Jake.
See, that's, and we're going to disagree with Decoy luck. Dave on this.
I'll take it in a minute.
Decoy Dave. So,
have at it.
So, oh, man.
Yeah, I don't.
You would, except for the fact that we're already running into a break.
All right, we'll pick up later here.
So we're going to get into this fight when he comes back, because Decoy Dave, I mean, it's in his name, but it doesn't mean he's 100% right. I'm just going to say
his natural born name, Decoy Dave.
Although he put out Leroy, and Leroy's the name of
Lyle.
Lyle. Lyle. I got the L right. We'll be right back. You're listening to WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. We'll be right back.
Democracy doesn't have to be boring. Founded by revolutionary German exiles in 1853, the Milwaukee Turners at Turner Hall offer gymnastics, rock climbing, yoga, meaningful forums, training, and countless ways to have fun and matter to Milwaukee. Whether you hang upside down or hang out, they've got you covered. Membership is only $35 a year. Be a part of Milwaukee's past, present, and future. Visit them at MilwaukeeTurners.org. That's MilwaukeeTurners.org. Or find them on Facebook or Instagram.
Attention all DIYers. When you're looking for the best products and supplies to take your landscaping to the next level, look no further than Choice Landscaping. For 30 years, Choice Landscaping and Garden Center continues to deliver professional and personal service within a 10-mile radius of Cudahy, but welcomes customers from all over. Whether it's spring, summer, fall, or winter, his Garden Center is open year-round to cover all your needs. So don't wait. For more info, visit choicelandscaping.com. Choice Landscaping. Cover all your needs.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Weather brought to you by Next Tech Glass, your hometown experts for auto, residential, and commercial glass repair and replacement. Please visit nexttechglass.com. That's nexttechglass.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 64 this afternoon. Under overcast skies, winds out of the southeast, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 58. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 79. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined your blind tie affair. The last one to know, the last one to show, I was the last one you thought you'd see there. And I saw the surprise.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman. And we are talking turkey, literally and figuratively. And Danielle is not able right now to get back on the air because she's setting up some kind of fandangled contraption with a hairpiece on it. Is that, did you make something out of something you put in your hair? Is that a banana clip?
A banana clip?
It kind of looks like a banana clip, doesn't it? Oh, that's for a phone. All right. Well, I think she's sharing this on Facebook. So check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Spotify. Check us out where else, Danielle? Apple Music.
Apple
and Spotify. We got Dave Nelson, two-time state goose calling champion, goose calling hunter extraordinaire Travis Sobchak. Of course, Danielle Fairman joins me. But we went into the break talking about decoy setups for turkeys. We're right in the middle of the Wisconsin turkey season right now. I've been out on four hunts so far, killed four turkeys so far, which I think is pretty good to this point. Had one hunt in Florida and three back here in Wisconsin. Big turkeys. Dave, you and I were just on an incredible turkey hunt the other morning. Yep. I mean, could that have gone more textbook?
No, not at all. No, I mean, that was about as good as it gets.
I mean, we get there, and I think you were leery at first.
Oh, yeah, I was leery at first for sure because I was thinking, you were like, yeah, they were over there on that side of the field strutting yesterday, and I'm thinking, if you saw them over there, why are we
over
300
here?
Yards over here?
And I explained. And
you
didn't,
then, yeah, once we got in the blind, you clarified that you're pretty sure they were roosting right behind us, which they were. And then it was, yeah. Once
then
they gobbled,
you
it was like,
started
oh,
to
is...
realize the magic that is Joel Clayfish.
Yeah. I was so confident that I put my chair away.
You did. You actually did. Got off the chair. We jammed three of us into a blind with Julian Young, and all of a sudden they were gobbling like 100 yards behind us, right where we thought they were. Talk to me about decoy placement.
Okay.
Let's get into it now. Because so,
you can
I,
jump down my throat now.
You and I disagree.
We do.
I never put out the full strut tom.
And I don't leave home without it.
Because I think it's a do or die, it's a do or die kind of thing, the full strut tom.
Yeah. I never leave home without it. I mean, if I could only bring one decoy, and there's a lot of times I've done that. I've ran one decoy, still hen calling, but I'll run one decoy and it'll be that strutter. 9 times out of 10, I'll run it with two hens. And then it's situational. So I'll always have it, but like in that hunt with Julian, you said there was 6 or 7 birds in this field. not very many hens. That is primo. Why would you not run a strutter and a couple hens?
Especially right now. I feel like they would want to fight right now.
Absolutely.
Come over there and take over.
They're supposed to be in fighting mode right now. Of course, turkeys will show you every day you hunt them that they decide, not you. As soon as you think you've got them notched, that's when they will make you sit all day in the cold or the rain. And you, nature's entitled to get one back once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
And so my theory on it is they'll come into that Jake the same, won't they?
Yes and no. I think when it's a Jake, it's more of a fight. Like, Jakes are scrappy.
Sure, they're right? Faster than the Toms.
Well, yeah, I don't know what it is, but they're just little punks. Like, and I think there's some times where a big bird just is like, I really don't feel like dealing with that today. And when it's a strutter decoy, it turns into more of a, this is my home turf
like
kind of thing.
Like dominance type deal.
It's a dominance thing. Yeah, that's how I feel. And like I said, I'll never leave home without it. Now, I will also put it very close. I'll usually put it at 15
what do you
yards.
Call Leroy? Lyle.
Lyle. Lyle. Yeah. Lyle usually isn't
Why
more than 15 yards.
Why is it
named
yards.
Lyle? Wait, that's your decoy's name?
Yeah, yeah, I named him Lyle.
Well, this was a friend you guys were talking about.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Lyle the decoy.
Yeah, yeah. No,
although I do think Dave has a bromance with Lyle more than he
Lyle.
Does with some actual people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Goose Hunting, we've got Killhole Cletus.
Killhole Cletus.
Cletus, yep, he always goes right in the kill hole.
So why is he named Lyle?
Lyle, so one of my wife's favorite reality shows was Party Down South.
No idea.
Never watched it? Well, there's a guy, his name was Lyle Boudreaux. He's this crazy little...
Did he have a southern, like
Oh yeah, he's from Louisiana.
Louisiana accent, Lyle Boudreaux.
And every time they'd go to the bar and he'd start drinking, they'd call him Wild Lyle. He'd start picking fights and stuff like that, so...
Oh, okay, well that's... There's actually a meaningful story.
Oh, so your wife named you Decoy.
Yeah.
I like
There's actually a meaningful story behind
I like it.
Lyle Boudreaux. Is it Lyle Boudreaux?
No, just Lyle.
Just Lyle.
Yeah,
Lyle.
Just Lyle.
And you have notches on the bottom of Lyle, I saw that you put up with a Sharpie.
32
kills on it.
Hot dog. That's nice.
So, So Danielle, so we get set up.
We get set up.
We put Dave puts the decoy out, and I said, "Are you sure you want it this close?" It was
nice.
Lyle. Full strut, giant decoy. Dave Smith decoy, I think. Yeah.
Yep.
So if you're wondering what we're talking about the Dave Smith full strut decoy with a real fan and real side wings.
Wings, yep.
Oh, wow.
It. Yeah, I mean, this thing looks dynamite. It looks like a real Tom strutting. And then we put an upright breeder hen ahead of him. Mm-hmm. But Dave had it like 15 feet, not yards, like 15 feet in front of the blind.
Yeah, and what you can get away with, like when you see turkeys in a field, I think the problem a lot of people have, even when they run a strutter or a Jake decoy and they run hens, they feel like they need to be able to shoot at whatever decoy is placed.
Right.
And when you run a strutter decoy and usually a Jake decoy, you could put that freaking hen 60 yards away. It won't matter. Hmm. He's not coming to that hen.
No.
Right, right.
So you can kind of disperse decoys a little bit more. Nothing's really too tight. Give them room to walk around.
The only thing I worry about in that case scenario is if you put a hen too far away and you got a hung up Tom who's henned up, if that hen comes in to fight, then all of a sudden he's going to be leery or she's not going to bring that Tom close enough to get a shot if that hen's out there. But usually he'll do circles around her anyway and get close enough anyway. So if that is your tactic, I think that will work too. When we get back, we're at the second break already.
I don't know how this happened so fast.
I know. We're going to talk about what happened on that hunt. We're going to talk advice for decoy setup on the turkey season. And we're going to talk about the fact that we're going now into the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth season, how that changes. And we're saving my man Travis Subcheck talk about geese and ducks, what they're doing now, and how watching them will make a difference this fall. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Hundreds of thousands gathered for a glittering ceremony in London as King Charles III was officially crowned this morning with his queen. CBS's Ian Lee was there to see the end of his seven-decade journey.
God save the king!
Britain crowned King Charles III on Saturday in a celebration that's been held at Westminster Abbey for nearly 1,000 years.
Are you willing to take the oath?
I am willing.
The early favorite in the Kentucky Derby, Forte, has been scratched from the race hours before the start. The co-owner says vets were worried about a bruised front foot. Reporter Ed Peek with more.
Kentucky State Racing Commission visited the barn along with the trainer and the owner. A winner in 5 of 6 starts, including the Florida Derby, was to break from post 15.
5 horses have died in the past week at the track. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Real Chili's been serving up mouth-watering goodness to the people of Milwaukee since 1931. Their famous secret award-winning chili recipe is the same as it was back then, and a local treasure. From lunch to dinner to late-night breakfast, Real Chili has you covered. And now you can bring the Real Chili to your next party, tailgate, wedding, or office gathering with their unbeatable catering options. And don't forget about their Real Love Party Packs, perfect for small groups, and pick up from their 2 convenient locations, downtown Milwaukee and near Marquette University campus. Visit them at realchili.com. That's realchili.com.
Have fun on the lake this summer. Treat yourself and find the watercraft you want at Action Boathouse Showroom just south of 59 on 164 in Waukesha. Check out the fun and versatile Sea-Doo Switch with its powerful Rotex jet engine. Action Boathouse Showroom also has a selection of luxury fishing boats or pontoon boats from 7 top USA manufacturers. The team at Action Boathouse Showroom is excited to help you launch into the sun this season and onto the lake. Action Boathouse Showroom just north of 59 on 164 in Waukesha.
Feeling down, anxious, depressed? You are not alone. According to the World Health Organization, approximately 280 million people have depression, but the majority never receive treatment. At WellPoint Care Network, they can help. Their outpatient clinic staff are both qualified and caring, not to mention highly trained in partnering with you on your healing journey. Make an appointment today at wellpointcare.org. They serve all ages, infants, children, and adults. Both in-person and virtual services are available. Learn more at wellpointcare.org.
Love is a burning thing.
Love is a burning
thing. And it makes a fiery ring.
Oh, man. Johnny Cash just makes me happy. Way more than Pink Floyd. I don't like Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd is so depressing.
That's what you were saying.
Pink Floyd reminds me of the first couple months of COVID. That's what Pink Floyd reminds me of.
Robin's yelling at you right now in her car.
That's okay. At least she's listening. So, I know, I understand that we have a wide range of listeners to this show. We got lots of people who listen to us. You know, they run the gamut. People who hunt, people who fish, people who don't, people who love to use the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. There's so much to do right now. It was a glorious day today. By the way, we're sitting here at 217 Wisconsin Avenue. Come by the fishbowl and say, hey, if you'd like.
Do you memorize our phone number yet?
Why would you do that right on the air, embarrass me like that? Do we're in it. When we grew up, Danielle, we had to memorize our friends' phone numbers.
Yeah, you don't even know what that's like. I had a rotary phone.
Okay,
what was my phone number?
What's your parents' phone number?
My parents' phone number? 613.
Oh, you probably know that.
Yeah, it's... I know it, but I'm not going to say it on air. I know everybody's phone number.
You know all your friends' phone numbers.
I also... Okay, my family. We were talking about my family.
Okay.
We even their husbands. My parents... I know everyone's license plate number because I'm weird.
Okay, that is weird. You know what?
We played that game a lot when we were driving.
You know what's an awesome thing I learned, though? When you order an Uber, it will tell you the license plate of the person picking you up. Check that before you get in.
Absolutely.
I mean...
And still check with the driver because they could have stolen that car.
Travis is going, yeah, well,
natural selection.
You're going to mess with Travis. I'm not going to mess with Travis. I mean, you know, if
Jake Decoy, Tommy,
a free ride's a free ride.
Yeah, well, that's
like,
Can I say it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Pause. Wait. I didn't mean it that way. I did not mean it that way. Pause.
That's how
Pause.
Danielle thinks. I'm sorry. I always tell everybody, I'm never worried about saying anything I shouldn't on the radio, but I do once in a while worry about Danielle saying something.
I want it. Yep.
So
we'll say it on commercial break on Instagram, because I'm Instagram live right now.
And you know, so I know this show is a little bit heavy on specific turkey talk, but
it's turkey season.
In all reality, we're in the middle of turkey season, and we're in the middle of what I like to think is one of the best ways and examples to get somebody who is a non-hunter into hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey hunting is quintessentially one of the most exciting type of hunts you'll ever hunt. It's delicious meat to make in so many different... You can use a wild turkey the same way you use a store-purchased domestic turkey when you cook with it. And when you're in the turkey woods, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, mm-hmm. Chad Belding and those guys, they had a wolf come in on their, you know, on their decoys. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
I would love to see that.
So we're talking decoy setup. And the reason we're doing this is because if you got a tag or a leftover tag, and let's be clear, we just started week three. So the vast majority of people, especially because of leftover tags, have not hunted yet in the turkey season. So Dave, mm-hmm. Decoy Dave Nelson, 2-time state goose calling champion, tarpon fishing captain, and we haven't even really touched on that yet.
We haven't even touched
it at all.
There's
a lot of time for that. Just not today.
It's a whole other segment.
Turkey calling extraordinaire, pro staff of Jargon Game Calls, the provider life, and the fowl life.
Can I just call you guru?
He's like the
outdoor guru.
I'm a little embarrassed that somebody 15 years younger than me, I literally look up to when it comes to calling and his expertise in that area.
But you started in your 30s.
I started at age 38 was the first time I went hunting.
Yeah, so he has been doing this.
I met Dave.
Probably since you were in the womb, I'm assuming.
Well, my first year hunting is also the first year I met Joel. I would have been 13.
We met at what is now a subdivision.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, aww, it happens.
I'm
all
assuming Pabst Farms.
No, it was across from the Piggly Wiggly in Oconomowoc.
Oh.
We met literally hunting. I was a brand new hunter, and we met at the field. We were both hunting. He was there with his dad, and that's the first time we met. And little did we know. I mean, our little Davey is all grown up now.
Oh,
he's married. He's responsible.
Sometimes.
You know, sometimes.
Well, his friend over here gets in cars with strangers, so.
Yeah, well, not strangers, but, you know, if they don't look like they're going to jack him on the way there, he's game for the ride, man. So we're talking decoys. Let's kind of put out some basic rules according to Decoy Dave, mm-hmm, for the next 3 weeks.
Yep. So, again, I wouldn't leave home without a strutter decoy. Prime example, this past weekend I had a hunt with a buddy, ran a strutter decoy in two hens, and we had a tom that came. He was gobbling from 100 yards out, took his time to get to us, and at about 30 yards he hung up. And another reason why I put the decoys close. Now, this is just the way I think, but in the wild, the hens go to the toms. That's how it works. When the hen is ready to breed,
oh, yes,
she goes to the tom. So he'll gobble, and they'll set up strut zones midday and have areas where they will sit and just gobble.
The hens will go to the top.
I always 100%. Thought it was the opposite.
Nope. That's why it's so hard to kill them.
Huh.
So what I will do, that's another reason why I always run the strutter decoy, and this is a prime example. Huh. So this bird crested the hill, got up on top of the hill. He saw our decoys 100 yards away. I feel had I not had a strutter decoy out, he would have sat on that hill and gobbled and strutted for 15, 20 minutes waiting for our two hen decoys to come to him. He would have lost interest. He would have left. Because we had a strutter decoy there, it ticked him off just enough to where he did not want to fight. That was one thing you saw really quick with that bird is he did not want to fight. It gobbled a ton. And when he got to about 30 yards, he felt like that's where he was comfortable because he didn't want to fight. And he thought he was going to get to 30 yards and strut and gobble, do his thing, and try to pull the hens.
Draw the hens to him.
Yep. And for that reason, he is now in shooting distance.
Yep. No doubt.
Now, the other reason I like to run and gun hunt, I don't mind blind hunting. I will do it. I'll kill them however you have to. But when I do run and gun hunt, the only decoy I will take is a strutter. Two reasons, again, for everything that I explained before. But the other is, and again, you have to be careful where you're doing this, but you can use it as a blind. So Julian and I, during his tag, did a little running and gunning deep back in some timber, struck a bird up. Let's see if we can get closer. We got closer to him, got closer, never made a sound, never called, got probably within 50 yards of this bird, maybe even closer. There was no cover. There was no tree to sit against. Sure, there was nothing. Sure. But I felt confident that the second we called, we were going to have that bird's interest, and he was probably going to come, and it was thick enough, and there were lanes to where if it went in that lane, he could shoot.
Sure.
So we sat shoulder to shoulder. He had his gun up. I held the decoy. The second I called, that bird gobbled. Now, that bird never saw us. He never saw the decoy. But again, you know, the hens go to the toms.
And I think whether it's actual cover or not, when those toms see a full strutter decoy, that's where their eyes are locked.
100%.
And they're going to be a lot more forgiving on your silhouette or the shape of your body.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're in decent camo and you're, you know, against a tree.
Yep.
You're going to look like that tree. And the banded camo looks phenomenal, the banded timbered camo. So, okay, so take me through weeks 4, 5, 6 then. Do you change up your spread or?
Nothing.
You don't?
I don't change anything.
Even though they get they're less aggressive.
Oh, they're
in 4 or 5. No. When they're all henned up and everything.
Mm-mm. So the hens, once you get later in the year, what actually happens is they're henned up early, mm-hmm. and a lot of times late in the afternoon when they're feeding. So think of it just like geese. When it's time to eat, they all eat together. But midday from 9 o'clock till 4 or 5 o'clock, the hens are sitting on nests.
Yep.
So those toms are by themselves.
Telling you, I have killed more toms between the hours of 10 and 2 than ever on the edges of the day.
Yep, yep. And there's a lot of people that won't wake up till 10 o'clock to go hunt. And I feel running a strutter decoy later in the year is more productive than in the early part of the year. The breeding cycle, everything is coming to an end. They're trying to find the last few hens that they can find to breed. Huh. Most of the hens are on nests. They're walking around midday. They hear you yelping. They come over the hill and they see 2, 3 hens and then a strutter decoy. They want to be the one to breed the hen.
See, in my experience, they just don't want to fight. They look at it the few times that I've had later season. They just look at it and they're like, nah. Then they turn around and go back the other way. Or they completely go over the knoll on the opposite side. Like, they just beeline me.
Well,
so that's why I feel like I don't want to, like, what? DF? ABCDEF? EF?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do that at all. Like, bring that out. But
yeah,
that's also
why
you have more turkeys than I do.
On it. There's very different theories on it. I tend to agree with Dave that the strength of a Jake or a Tom decoy grows through the season. Mm-hmm. However, there are times that it just plain doesn't. I mean,
oh yeah, I've had a few times where you think about it and it's like, man, if you didn't have that strut out, he probably would have came. It's probably a subdominant bird that really didn't want to fight. And I mean, that's just me personally.
I think
now
it has more to do with decoy shyness if they've been hunted in an area more so than what their patterns are naturally.
Yeah.
If
I mean, here's the thing too, is they only live to be 3.
I'm sorry, what? 3?
They only live to be 3. So it's,
well,
you know,
a few of them live to be 4.
4,
but, yeah.
But 3, 4. I mean, most of these turkeys that we kill.
At least 5, I thought. Well, I don't really look into it. Just
my head.
I mean, it depends on how hard winters are, but you're looking at 3 to 4 average. So most of the turkeys we kill are 2-year-olds.
Right.
They haven't seen much.
Yeah.
You know, they really haven't seen much. So they're going off just natural instinct. And I think they're like people. And what's really strange, and I've told you this story, but a buddy and I hunted when we tried reaping some turkeys. And it's where you hide behind the strutter decoy. It's very successful.
Like a scoot shoot.
Yeah. Yep. We used this decoy to try to reap. There's 3 birds. And they never spooked. They never saw us, but they wanted nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. They stayed at about 50, 60 yards, progressively just walked away from us. The way that the terrain laid out, they got over this hill, and we knew because of a creek and a road that they weren't going to cross it. They had to pretty much do a big loop, and there was a hill on that side. We grabbed that decoy. We ran about 75 yards to the other side of this tree line where the field was, where we thought these birds were going to walk over. Put the decoy down, sat against a tree. By the time we sat down, we saw the birds crest the hill. They wanted nothing to do with that reaping. But 15 minutes later, they crest the hill. All 3 of them come running in and start beating the crap out of the decoy.
Yeah, that's the best.
Why? Yeah, but why? Why? You know, why 15 minutes before that decoy they wanted nothing to do with? Now, all of a sudden, boom.
I'm going to tell you what. I think it's like, I've made this analogy before. It's like they're having cocktails, you know, and they're like, oh, who's that? Oh, it was that dude. Who's he doing over there? And his buddy's like, dude, just chill, bro. Don't worry about it. Have another drink. Don't worry about it. And then they get a couple more drinks in them, and they're like, bro, I'm going over there. And he's like, dude, just chill, relax. And then eventually they have enough drinks, and they want to get in a fight.
So I've got a very interesting one for you.
Exactly.
And I wish this would have been on film, but I reaped a turkey one time. There was a whole flock in a field. There was 5 or 6 toms, we'll say 5, and a whole group of hens. I start sneaking up, get within about 100 yards, and at that point, you could tell that something was going on in the flock. So all the toms were very upset with the fact that I was there.
Right.
But none of them wanted to come and be the one to confront me.
Right.
So I kept creeping a little bit. These 4 toms picked this one tom.
To go.
To go. And I mean, picked him.
Yeah.
I mean, they went and harassed him. He would go into strut. I swear.
You go.
They would all go into strut, and he would try to make his way back to the hens, and one or two of them would come and kind of not fight him, but just literally box him out to the point of where finally he's like, well, yeah, exactly. You almost kind of felt bad, but
yeah.
I didn't. He came. He did not want to. He did not want to, but he did.
Calvin is actually laughing. And Calvin, what do you think of this?
Sounds like a fun experience.
I've never seen that before. And it was interesting.
That would be cool to see on camera.
Yeah.
That is why patience kills turkeys. And I think the difference between your reaping on that one scenario you just talked about and the fact that you sat against the tree and they came was just somebody in them got it in them that they were going to fight. Do you ever notice it's also like drunken idiots?
They'll kind of jack themselves up.
Once one of them goes, then the rest of them are like, all right, we're going. We're all going.
Yep.
Then you have 16 toms dancing around your decoy, and you got to wait until one gets far enough away to shoot it. Turkey hunting, so great. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up and talk about what's going on in Wisconsin waters and woods in the spring that will help you become a better hunter in the fall with Travis Subchick, Dave Nelson, Danielle, and me. We'll be right back.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Weather brought to you by Next Tech Glass, your hometown experts for auto, residential, and commercial glass repair and replacement. Please visit nexttechglass.com. That's nexttechglass.com.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 64 this afternoon under cloudy skies. Winds out of the southeast, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely, lows around 58. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 79. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
But you have to reach a certain point.
Welcome back to Raising Wisco.
Whoa.
I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman.
Hi.
540 AM WAUK. Are you getting an education here today, Danielle?
I am. I feel like I should have left my time decoy out now. But also, thinking back, I did... How you just taught me that the hens come to Tom. That's why I had three hens kept coming up by me, but no toms ever. They just kept coming up and then going back.
Yeah, that's when patience definitely plays a part of it, for sure. So,
I mean, I have patience if I know exactly what I'm doing. Because mine was I kept second guessing myself.
Just remember, once you make the commitment of the decoys and you're hidden, stick to that commitment. And the reason I say that is because there's 100-to-1 chance those birds are going to see you before mm-hmm. you see them. And if you're getting out to move it, you're going to spook them. And they're not, people say, well, turkeys are dumb. Birds are dumb.
Their vision?
They are not, they may not be intelligent, but they're one of the most incredibly instinctive animals I've ever seen. And instinct will win over intellect anytime when it comes to their protection. They can see like a mole, and they can hear also very well. I mean, the slightest little purr, they're hearing it from a quarter mile away. So I think we're going to move on from turkey hunting, because right now, to me, I know a lot of people who like to hunt and fish and get out in the outdoors of Wisconsin. Spring is to them the quintessential rebirth of our great state of Wisconsin. We get through this long, cold winter, and spring is coming. And what I don't think a lot of people realize is, like, now is the time to start paying attention if you're a waterfowl hunter. Travis Subcheck is joining us. He's one of the best callers that I know when it comes to goose calling. Travis, you and I have spent hours together in the blind. You've nearly frozen your legs or hands off while we've been out there.
Yeah, that was a fun day.
It was still fun. We still killed a few and laughed a lot. Everybody says, well, what if you go out there and you don't kill anything? I'm going to tell you what. Those goofy ab exercisers they advertise on the air, where they send shockwaves into your abs.
Yep.
Better than that is going hunting with your buddies for waterfowl. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Danielle? Oh yeah. I laugh all. You know this. I laugh all the time, but I don't have a six pack though.
Yeah,
I got one pack.
The club. I
got
me
neither.
I got a one pack right there.
I have a quarter barrel. Does that count?
It does.
Travis, what do you so? Well, I don't know if we should get into the story of how Danielle literally saved the lives of some goslings and a goose by stopping traffic on the freeway the other day.
Oh, sure did. Shut down a whole on-ramp on Watertown Plank Road to save two geese and three goslings.
Well, you saved them for me so I can get them in September.
No. I saved them for me so I can shoot them later on.
Were any of them banded?
No, not one of them. I looked.
Well,
and I was standing there with the sheriff.
Little bands.
I got super nervous because I told the sheriff, because it was turkey hunting. I was on my way to go turkey hunting. I'm like, you geese, if you're going to bite me, I got a gun in my car. It's unloaded for turkey hunting. Let me clarify.
For the cops, I'm sure. Travis, what do you think about how we watch geese and ducks and right now? How does that affect, you think, the fall hunting season?
I mean, you got to look at the hatch. You know, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Around me, I'm not seeing much. But, you know, Dave said he saw a pretty good one. The hatch all depends on your season. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the DNR gets their numbers every year and determines, like, how many you can kill, how many. That is something determined on a yearly basis. Every year we come up with that. And you've been at, you know, you're one of the more successful, you know, waterfowl hunters I know. What are some keys to employing tactics in the fall? What do you like? What do you like as far as decoy spread? What you like to see in the spring to turn into the fall?
What do you feel about silhouettes?
Silhouettes versus decoy, you know, versus full bodies.
He keeps giving me looks when I ask.
I mean, everybody has, you know, one person may like this. You know, some person's, I'm only going to run silhouettes, or I'm only a full body person. I mean, every
what about
day,
the giant ones? Sorry, I have so many questions.
I love
so many questions.
Decoys.
I mean, every day, one thing will work one day, but, you know, it won't work the next. So, I mean, you have to have, you know, an army of tools. I mean, if you want to call them, you know, I have a little bit of everything. But, I mean, I like my full buddies, and there's some days I like my silhouettes. But I just have more success over full bodies.
Yeah, I think everybody has more success over full bodies, but it sure is a pain in the rear to haul them out into the field compared to silhouettes.
And with scratches, what about scratches? Do you have to Sharpie in all of them or put the velvet back on? Are you like one of those people that have to have it all perfectly clean? You can't have scuffs on them.
It doesn't matter if I want to try to keep them clean. I mean, King Cletus, I mean, we were goose hunting one day and this goose is falling out of the sky and I look at Dave, he looks at me, he goes, "Oh no!" And boom.
Oh no.
Oh no. I'm watching this goose fall out of the sky, punctured a hole right through the top of my decoy. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. You can try to keep them as neat as you can, but they're going to get damaged. But at the end of the day, it's meant to get.
You know how many.
Not used and abused, but it's going to get some wear.
No, use it. If you buy it, use it. That's one thing my wife always tells me that she cannot complain is that I actually use my equipment. I use the stuff I buy. It's a lot of expensive junk,
right?
But I use it. I will say this, though. I have decoys upon decoys that are like baby rattles if you pick them up. They're filled with shot, and that is nothing but marks of pride in my book because that means I had something close enough to the decoys, and I'm putting an ethical, clean shot on it if it's on top of the decoys and filling my decoys with bird shot. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to calling, how important do you think calling actually is compared to a decoy setup or being on the X?
100% you need calling. I mean, whether it's you're hunting migrators or, you know, late season. I mean, you were on that migrator hunt when we're plucking them out of the sky from way up, you know, way up top.
There's nothing better in the whole world, is there, than watching those things tornado spiral down?
Oh, yes. North Dakota was the greatest thing, seeing all those ducks fly over me like that.
I mean, that
was
one,
the only time I've ever experienced
it. I mean, the one day we're just literally standing there and just out of the sky, just dropping. We're all standing there. The goose is literally turning its head, looking at us. Just
we were standing out shooting the baloney outside like a bunch of jamokes, and these birds are coming from, you know, they're literally a mile high, you know, and they just start coming down to the spread. That's when you know you've got a realistic looking decoy spread.
Mm-hmm.
And so which school of thought are you from that you call loud, call frequently, and then as they get closer, you lighten up your calling and lighten up your calling? Or are you hammer, 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 hammer harder as they get closer?
Well, it all depends. I mean, migrators, you know, you wail on them from when they're up top. You got to keep on them until they're down.
Yeah.
I mean,
That's what Mark Kakich says. Call them until they're dead.
Sure.
He says just keep calling and start being louder and louder. And I think a lot of guys, when it comes to turkey calling and goose calling, they'll say, okay, now stop. Now, with turkeys, if they're real close, I don't think calling helps because they can tell it's not coming from the decoys.
Mm-hmm. You got to learn how to read birds, too.
Yeah.
Read their reactions.
That is true. I told you it's the fastest hour in radio and the fastest hour of your life. We're already done. We'll see you next week. For Joel and Danielle, I'm Joel. For Joel and Danielle, I'm Joel.
Oh, hey,
we'll see you next week.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Welcome to Mount Pleasant in Racine County, your next vacation and business destination. Just 30 miles south of Milwaukee and 60 miles north of Chicago, Mount Pleasant offers scenic parks, an outstanding hiking and biking trail system, and plenty of dining, entertainment, and shopping options. But Mount Pleasant also offers endless opportunities for economic growth, making it the perfect place to establish your company. Help celebrate the sixth season grand opening of the Franksville Craft Beer